Stephanie Land's aspirations and life changes. Stephanie Land had big plans before she became a single mom and a maid. At the beginning of her story, she was in her late 20s and had just moved to Port Townsend, Washington, a small town on the Olympic Peninsula. Even though her family had deep ties to the area, she felt out of place. Her family had lived in Skagit County, where Stephanie was born, for many generations, but when she was 7, they moved to Anchorage, Alaska. She grew up in Alaska and spent most of her young life there. Moving back to Northwest Washington was supposed to help her reconnect with her roots, but Port Townsend was only a short stop before she moved on. Her real goal was to go to Missoula, Montana. Stephanie always loved reading and dreamed of becoming a writer. After reading John Steinbeck's Travels with Charlie, which described Montana in detail, she imagined herself living there one day in the wide open spaces. Stephanie dreamed of moving to Missoula to attend the University of Montana's creative writing program. But to do that, she needed to save enough money, since the cost of living in Missoula was high. Unfortunately, there weren't many good job options in Port Townsend, and the ones available were mostly low-paying service jobs. To make ends meet, Stephanie worked at a cafe, a dog daycare, and at a farmer's market. Then she met Jamie, a young man who was in a similar situation. He didn't have a college degree and was working odd jobs, just like her. His goal was to move to Portland, Oregon. Jamie lived in a small camper trailer packed with books by writers like Charles Bukowski and Jean-Paul Sartre. Stephanie liked his taste in books, and they started dating. Soon, she moved into his trailer. They agreed it would be a short-term arrangement to save money. Splitting the $300 rent would help them both reach their goals. Once they had enough saved up, they planned to go separate ways, Jamie to Portland and Stephanie to Missoula. But just after her 28th birthday, Stephanie learned that she was pregnant. Stephanie struggles with abusive relationship and poverty. Stephanie's poverty began after an abusive relationship and a lack of family support. When she found out she was pregnant, she considered getting an abortion or keeping it a secret from Jamie so she could still attend the University of Montana and become a writer. However, the idea of being a mother felt important, and she wanted Jamie to have the chance to be a father. So she tore up her college application and chose to stay in Washington. Jamie wanted her to have an abortion and became angry when she refused. He was upset about the idea of paying child support, and his anger turned into abuse, including insults and threats. Later, Stephanie wished she had been strong enough to leave him then, but she stayed with him during her pregnancy and after their daughter Mia was born. Although Jamie continued to mistreat her, staying with him had some practical benefits, like his job allowing her to stay home with Mia. By the time Mia was 7 months old, Stephanie felt she couldn't take it anymore. She decided it was time to leave. In a moment of frustration, she punched a hole in a window, and that marked the end of the relationship. Stephanie moved in with her father and stepmother, who lived in a trailer nearby. This was in 2008, and the recession had already affected her father's job as an electrician. Financial struggles and limited family support. Helping Stephanie and her baby put additional financial pressure on her father, causing problems at home. Stephanie began to feel increasingly uneasy in her living situation. One night, her father and stepmother had a big argument, and the next morning, Stephanie saw bruises on her stepmother's arm, feeling guilty about it. That same day, she decided to leave and moved into a homeless shelter. This event highlights Stephanie's ongoing struggles. The lack of support from her family, her father's poor financial condition, and his inability to offer much help. Stephanie's grandfather wanted to support her, but he was even poorer than her father. Jamie, her baby's father, paid $275 a month in child support and cared for their daughter on weekends for a few hours, but that was all. Stephanie's mother had moved to Europe and wasn't available to help. With little family support, Stephanie turned to public assistance, but it was also not enough. Stephanie's experience with government housing support. Stephanie managed to leave homelessness behind with the help of government aid, though this support came with many challenges. Her first step was moving into a homeless shelter, and from there, she found herself in different types of government-subsidized housing. The next place she lived was an apartment in a transitional housing building. Both the shelter and the apartment were provided by the local housing authority, and they shared several key features. Firstly, both places were not very pleasant. The shelter was a small, secluded cabin with dirty floors, old walls, and very little furniture. The apartment building was crowded with thin walls and constant noise from people arguing. Secondly, both the shelter and the apartment had limited stays. The shelter allowed residents to stay for 90 days, while the apartment was only available for 24 months. Thirdly, to remain in these places, Stephanie had to jump through many hoops. While living in the shelter, she spent a lot of time at government offices for various assistance programs, meeting with caseworkers, and standing in long lines with others who needed help. Everyone had paperwork proving their financial struggles. Fourth, there were strict rules to follow. Residents weren't allowed to have visitors, use drugs or alcohol, and had to return by 10 p.m. every night. Finally, the housing authority kept a close watch on everyone. There were random drug tests and apartment inspections. The shelter even had a rulebook stating, "This is not your home, it's an emergency shelter." When Stephanie was ready to move out of the transitional apartment, she had to navigate complex government programs and their strict guidelines. One of these programs was LIHEAP, which helped pay for utility bills but required her to attend a 3-hour class about saving energy, which she found insulting. Another program, Section 8, covered housing costs that were more than 30 to 40% of a person's income. TBRA was similar to Section 8. However, to use these programs, Stephanie had to find landlords willing to accept them. Many landlords rejected Section 8 and TBRA tenants because they held negative views about low-income people, views shared by many in society. The stigma of receiving government assistance. In the United States, people who are poor and rely on government support often face unfair treatment and negative perceptions. While Stephanie was thankful for the help she received with housing, she also felt belittled by the rules and constant monitoring that came with it. To her, these actions suggested a disrespectful view of people who struggle financially. Rather than being treated with understanding, those in poverty are often seen with suspicion and disdain. Society assumes they are lazy, drug addicted, or incapable, which leads to policies like curfews, home inspections, and drug tests. Stephanie sees this as part of a larger problem of how poor people, especially those on welfare, are treated in America. Many believe the stereotype that these individuals are freeloaders who waste money on drugs, alcohol, or unnecessary things, thinking that if they tried harder, they could escape poverty. This view ignores the factors like unexpected events, lack of support, and limited opportunities that can lead to poverty, as Stephanie's situation shows. Many people resent welfare, believing recipients don't deserve it. Stephanie experienced this when a friend sarcastically said, "You're welcome," after learning she used government aid for basic needs like food and housing. A stranger at a store also made a similar comment when he saw her buying milk with food stamps. Stephanie saw more anti-welfare posts on social media, like one from a friend mocking food stamp purchases, calling them extravagant, even though they were just snacks and soda. As a welfare recipient, Stephanie faced both public judgment and strict government policies. The psychological toll of welfare stigma. Stephanie felt the weight of the stigma that came with using welfare. As she worked to move forward in life, she knew that welfare was critical to her success. It wasn't making her lazy or dependent. It was what allowed her to return to work after having her baby. As a single mother with no family to help, she couldn't leave her daughter at home while she worked. She needed affordable childcare, and without government help, daycare for Mia would have been too expensive. Welfare made it possible for her to work as a maid, cleaning for a company. While this job was hard, it helped others. Stephanie might have had no reason to feel ashamed of needing welfare, but the stigma surrounding it weighed heavily on her. For example, when she came home from shopping for groceries, she also carried what she called a bag of shame. She worried about what others thought of her using food stamps. Her fear of being judged became so strong that she felt like there were cameras everywhere, watching her and waiting to catch her acting out negative stereotypes of welfare recipients, like being lazy. She even felt this pressure in her own home, where she couldn't relax, and even reading a book felt like an act of indulgence. This feeling of being constantly watched meant Stephanie always felt the need to prove her worth for the help she received. She had to show she wasn't lazy, so she worked hard, not just at her job, but also taking care of Mia and keeping their home. But her busyness wasn't just a mental struggle. It was very real. The demands of Stephanie's job as a maid. Stephanie's job as a maid was tough and unrewarding. While it helped her make some money, it came with many challenges. First, she had to drive her car to each house assigned by the cleaning company. Since the clients were spread out, it could take up to an hour to reach a single house. This travel time wasn't paid, and the company didn't help with gas costs, which took up about a third of her paycheck. Once she arrived, she had to clean everything quickly and carefully, no matter how unpleasant it was. This meant scrubbing showers, cleaning urine stains from toilets, removing mold from bathroom ceilings, wiping grease off stovetops, picking up dog hair from carpets, and dusting hard surfaces. She also changed bedsheets, fluffed pillows, restocked toilet paper, took out the trash, and did laundry, all while facing unpleasant surprises, like semen-soaked socks on a client's bedroom floor or blood on the sheets of a sick person's bed. Everything had to be done perfectly, even the small details like folding the toilet paper into a triangle. All of this had to be finished in just 3 or 4 hours, depending on the house. This was not a lot of time, especially since most houses were large, with more than 4 bedrooms, 2 full bathrooms, 2 half bathrooms, a kitchen, and several living areas. Even spending just 15 extra minutes was not allowed, so Stephanie had to rush through her tasks. After finishing one house, she quickly moved on to the next, usually cleaning 2 or 3 houses per day. Despite all the hard work, Stephanie couldn't escape poverty. She only got 10 to 25 hours of paid work each week, and her pay started at Washington's minimum wage of $8.55 per hour. This meant she earned around $800 a month. The struggles of Stephanie's work and life. Stephanie's job as a maid was both physically and mentally exhausting. The work was hard and repetitive, involving tasks like scrubbing, lifting, and kneeling, which caused her body a lot of strain. She had to use strong cleaning chemicals in places with mold and poor ventilation, which led to health problems like frequent sinus infections, a bad cough, back pain, and muscle aches. On top of this, she was always tired. Despite earning low wages, her income was too high to qualify for Medicaid, which meant she couldn't afford to visit a doctor. The only way she could manage her pain was by taking large doses of ibuprofen. Stephanie had no sick or vacation days. Missing work meant losing pay, so she felt pressure to work every day, even when she or her daughter was sick. The job was often unpleasant, too. She had to clean up bodily fluids like vomit and feces, and she rarely got any recognition, as the clients never saw her or knew her name. This made her feel invisible and alone. Her work also isolated her. She drove to the clients' houses alone, cleaned alone, and had little time for friends or family because of her schedule. At home, Stephanie's job as a single mom was just as demanding. She was responsible for everything: cooking, cleaning, shopping, paying bills, and taking care of Mia. Despite working so hard, she felt like she was failing as a mom. The apartment she could afford was so moldy that Mia kept getting sick, and the daycare she could afford didn't provide good care or enrichment. Stephanie's new perspective on life. Stephanie's life as a single mother and maid taught her what truly mattered. Although she felt lonely without a partner, she enjoyed the freedom to focus on her daughter, Mia. They spent quality time together, strengthening their bond and easing her loneliness. Working as a maid showed her the lives of wealthy clients. At first, she envied their big houses and luxury items, but over time she noticed many struggled with depression, anxiety, and loneliness. Some even slept in separate rooms. Stephanie realized that despite their wealth, they lacked connection. Though she still desired some of their possessions, she no longer believed a big house or fancy things would bring happiness. Instead, she valued love, human connection, and a true sense of home, things she found with Mia. However, she still longed for a sense of community. Stephanie's move to Missoula. Stephanie dreamed of moving to Missoula, Montana, and becoming a writer, but life kept her in Northwest Washington for 5 years after having her daughter, Mia. She thought she needed to wait until Mia was older and could afford the move. Two main reasons held her back: financial struggles and the belief that she needed permission from Mia's father, Jamie, to move. However, victim advocates explained she only needed to file a notice, and Jamie could object. She was also encouraged to apply for a scholarship for women escaping abuse, which helped her afford a trip to Missoula. When she arrived, the town felt perfect: friendly people, an arts festival, and a laid-back vibe. She immediately felt at home and decided to move. After settling in, she and Mia hiked a mountain overlooking the town. At the top, she felt they had overcome many challenges. From there, she saw the University of Montana, where she would later earn a degree in English and creative writing. Key points. 1. Life may not always go as planned, but staying focused on long-term goals can lead to eventual success. 2. Having a strong network of family, friends, or community can make a significant difference in overcoming hardships. 3. Facing poverty or needing assistance doesn't make someone less capable or valuable. 4. It's important not to internalize societal judgment, especially when relying on support to survive. 5. Balancing tough jobs and responsibilities can be overwhelming, so it's important to find moments of rest and recovery. 6. Genuine relationships and a sense of belonging bring true fulfillment. 7. Pursuing your dreams, even after setbacks, can lead to personal growth and new opportunities.